This is CliffCentral.com.
Okay, let's get to Anthea. It's time.
She works hard for money.
Yes, she does.
So hard for the money.
Yes, she does.
She works hard for the money.
And
so
her name is Anthea. On Skype from Cape Town.
She went home for the money, so you better treat her right.
All right, Anthea Gardner, good morning.
Good morning, Gareth.
You sound fresh and full of life. What's happening?
I am, yes, except the wind here in Cape Town's getting me down a bit.
Yeah, no.
Unbelievable.
Tomorrow we're hosting a special show live from Cape Town with Dr. Christo Visa, who, of course, is one of our South African magnates, you could say, without any shadow of doubt. The guy is certainly one of the most successful people in South African business, and he will be at our launch of Hashtag Invest, which is your opportunity to get involved in the stock market. There are lots of products out there. This is just one of them, and we advise you to take a look at all of them. But we will be telling you in the next few days about what we have on offer. And Anthea, before we get too much into that, tell us quickly what the market looks like in the last 3 days. The Rand?
Yeah, it was all about the Rand on Friday. In fact, the last 3 days. I mean, on Friday, the Rand completely blew out, Gareth. 14.38 it was trading on Friday at the end of the day, which means that in just over 32 hours, from Thursday morning until Friday afternoon, the Rand lost 1 Rand against the dollar because it was 13.30 or 27 on Thursday morning. I mean, the last 3 trading days, the Rand has weakened by 9%. So everything we import suddenly costs 9% more. And it's not just us, though. I mean, all emerging market currencies are absolutely getting pummeled. And
yeah, but we did make some massive recoveries because we came off a much higher number sort of towards Nenegate last year, right?
That's right. So in January, we were up to 16 to the dollar.
Okay, so we're still okay by comparison, but it's not great.
Certainly, yeah. Mm. But these violent moves, I mean, they're so big, it's quite scary. Because if that continues for 2 more days, then you're probably looking quite easily going back to 16.
Jeez.
I think it's the whole sentiment around Trump, you know. Everybody's worried about this kind of inward-looking promise of protectionist policies. Mm. And then, of course, the kind of flip side of this weaker rand is that our bond market absolutely as well takes a beating with it. And, in fact, you would think that the weaker rand would be kind of a buffer for the stock market, but actually not even. I mean, none of the indices were spared on Friday. You know, resources, industrials were down over 2%, financials fell 1.5%. And any stock that was even kind of vaguely vulnerable on Friday just got hammered. Mr. Price was down 7%. So that's what you worry about when this happens, like kind of this indiscriminate selling of not just kind of the currency, but everything that is emerging markets.
What about our markets? I mean, how have our stock markets responded to the Rand and to Trump and to everything else?
Yeah, well, so you'd think that with a slightly weaker Rand that the stock market would be fine because we've got so many Rand hedge stocks. Mm-hmm. But actually, our stock market was down 2%, over 2% on Friday as well. I mean, even the gold shares were down 7%, which shows you how bad the sell-off was on Friday. Although gold spot, now here's an interesting one, because the actual spot price of gold went from $1,337 an ounce on Wednesday, and in 2 days came off to $1,235 an ounce. You know, so
now that doesn't make sense, because people were saying, well, if Trump wins, gold is where people will take refuge. That didn't happen. Yes? I think we lost Anthea. Flax, and you try and get her back. Maybe that's why the price went down, because more and more people went to gold. But that wouldn't make sense. I mean, if you're going to gold, then the price would go up. That's what people were saying. I don't understand it. It's very, very odd. All right, we'll check in on the Chinese economy, too, because They had Alibaba's Singles Day, and that's always a massive day in the Chinese market. So as soon as we got Anthea back on that, we'll ask her about that. Company update, and we'll tell you a little bit about hashtag invest, which we're doing this week, the official launch. Anthea, you on the line? There we go. Oh, sorry, I don't know. You just dropped off. I don't know what happened either. So I was asking you, if the gold price dropped, everyone was saying if Trump was elected, people would take refuge in gold. Clearly that didn't happen.
No, so as we thought Trump was going to win and the market started panicking, I mean, you know, the indices were down, limit down, so 5 or 6% down when kind of he was winning. But then when he did his victory speech, all of a sudden, the market turned, and it was very peculiar. And I think people are trying to get their head around what is going to happen. And I think here's the issue, is that still people are not sure. Some people are betting that his kind of protectionist policies will help the U.S., but clearly not help emerging markets. That's why we're seeing the sell-off in emerging markets. And in fact, you're seeing a rally in the U.S. stock market. And even on Friday, Buffett came out and said that he's not at all worried about the stock market because, as he puts it, the market works. You know, he did caveat that it doesn't work for everybody, but on aggregate, the market works, he says. And I think maybe I want to remind everyone that despite his age, Buffett is a long-term investor, and so he can handle the short-term volatility. And so maybe that's why he's saying he's not too worried. You know, there are a couple of other big investors, you know, the big hedge fund managers, who have come out and said, actually, Trump is probably not going to be good for the U.S. economy. And then there are others who are saying, well, potentially he will do what he has to do to promote the U.S. economy at kind of the detriment of global economies. And in fact, he might even implement more U.S. fiscal stimulus. Now, the worry for me, if he does that, is that if you've got an economy that is being artificially held up when it doesn't need to be, it could overheat, and then you'd see extraordinary inflation, then you'd see interest rates going up, you'd see the consumer come under pressure, and that could potentially lead to a depression kind of in a couple of years' time. So the economies really are all about balance. You know, as much as we love to see our money grow by 20-30%, it's kind of, you want that steady growth. You don't want the sudden spike in growth.
Right.
And that's what we're worried about, I'm worried about, when it comes to Donald Trump.
Can we talk about China for a second? While we were trying to get you back on the line, I mentioned that Alibaba's Singles Day was a big day on the Chinese markets. How did that turn out?
Yes. So kind of Singles Day somehow has become the barometer, almost an indicator of how well the Chinese consumer is doing. And this year, they exceeded last year's sales, which was a record, by 52%. They printed $17.8 billion in trade in 24 hours. Some of these numbers are absolutely staggering. By the end of the 24 hours of shopping and of the $17.8 billion of trade, Alibaba had sold $14.6 billion through mobile devices alone. So this incredible move to shop on your phone or on your iPad, it's amazing. I mean, that equated to 657 million delivery orders. So that's kind of 82% of sales was done through mobile devices.
Wow.
It is absolutely incredible. And what's even more amazing, that even with these sorts of sales numbers, online retail in China is only 10% of the total Chinese retail market. So that just shows how big the Chinese consumer is. And Garrett, the other thing I found interesting about Alibaba's Singles Day, and maybe this is just because I see Alibaba Singles Day very much as a Chinese event.
Right.
Is that in fact, excuse me, they process cross-border transactions from 235 countries.
Wow, so it's not just a Chinese thing then, it's from everywhere.
Well, Japan, the U.S., and South Korea were the top three locations for purchases outside of China.
Wow, okay. That shows you.
And the funny thing about the Chinese market at the moment is that people are beginning to call it a bull market, because actually the Chinese stock market is up 20% so far this year. And, you know, it's got something to do with the fact that people are getting comfortable with this kind of GDP growth number. There was a stage where China printed in excess of 10% per annum economic growth, and then suddenly we worried that it was all slowing down, and it suddenly came crashing down to 6%, and I'm being sarcastic, because most countries would love 6% GDP growth.
We'd love 3%.
Exactly. And the last GDP print in China was about 6.7%, and it seems to be kind of evening out at that number. So China looks like it could be a good news story for us going forward, even if Donald Trump is not going to be. I must admit, I'm still a little bit worried about the Chinese currency, though. You know, they have been consistently devaluing the renminbi, and I'm wondering how much longer they can do that for, because that is actually supportive of their economy, or I should say not their economy, their stock market, because they're actually huge importers, so a weaker currency is probably not best for them.
Right. Just one last thing. There are a couple of company results coming out, and some of them that are out already, which you're not very happy with.
No, Gav, and particularly the retailers. So as I said with Mr. Price, you know, when there's an emerging market sell-off, when you're worried about GDP growth in your country, and now I'm talking about South Africa, the companies that are vulnerable, show any bit of vulnerability, absolutely get sold off first, and they get sold off the most. And so Woolworths was down 3.5% on Friday. They put out a pretty negative trading update. And the read-through for the Woolworths trading update showed that, one, sales slowed, and secondly, they were losing market share, which means that actually the South African consumer is beginning to trade down. In other words, they're starting to buy cheaper products. And so your kind of high-end retailers, well, not the top end, because they seem to be, you know, the rich ones, they just seem to be very well protected. But kind of your higher middle, if you like, Woolworths-type stores will suffer. And then the other one, which is quite a bellwether for retailers, the Foschini Group, they posted really downbeat credit sales numbers on Friday as well. And all of this is about the National Credit Regulator just looking to rein in reckless lending to the consumer, because I think they know the consumer's under pressure. And they're doing this by kind of, one, enforcing the rules for store card applications, and then secondly, by limiting the interest rate that a retailer can charge the client, which is good for the consumer.
Well, it protects the consumer, but it does mean that there's less capital available to those consumers.
That's exactly right, Gareth. So the retailers who depend on giving customers credit during tough times so that they can continue shopping are definitely the ones that are going to suffer.
Okay.
And then the other disappointment last week was MediClinic. And you know the MediClinic story, because it's one of my favorites, and I always go on about how I really like this expansion. It's a fairly aggressive acquisition strategy. But last week they reported, and it's obviously costing them quite dearly. And I think the big issue is, in fact, the Middle East, where they bought this Al-Nur hospital, and they paid about £1.5 billion for it. And it just seems like the regulatory environment in the Middle East is getting tougher, and compliance is costly. You know, if every time they tighten the rules, you have to pay money to be compliant, or you have to kind of fix your system.
Well, you have to hire lawyers. That's the expense.
It's one of indeed. The poor lawyers.
No, not the poor lawyers. These guys are totally insulated against any kind of ups and downs in the economy. They just charge whatever they want to charge, and we just have to pay. So don't ever say poor lawyers. Nobody cares.
Indeed. Okay. And then on the other hand, for the MediClinic group, I mean, Switzerland is probably the biggest revenue contributor to the group. But at least there, it's called the Hearst London subsidiary. at least there the numbers grew by 15%. So I think in the short term, Mediclinic really is going to suffer, but in the medium to long term, it's one of those shares that is, it probably will kick up again at some stage. And I'm a holder of Mediclinic,
mm-hmm.
and it's really hurt me a little bit, but I haven't sold yet. And in fact, if I didn't have so many in my portfolio, I'd probably be buying a little bit more right now.
Okay.
So you can almost guarantee that when we launch hashtag invest, I'm going to put some Mediclinics in there, because I think where it's trading now is a good entry point.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. So we shouldn't get rid of them. We should shut up and let Anthea handle it.
And kind of deal with the volatility, I'm afraid.
All right. Well,
Gareth,
you wanted to go to Bidvest, right?
Yeah, so this is the company that absolutely has bucked the trend on Friday. The share was up 3.5% in a market that's down 2%. That's not bad. And again, they just put out a fairly positive trading statement saying that their first 4 months have been good for them, and the market just likes what they're doing. Because, you know, they stripped Bidvest and Bidcorp, and Bidcorp was tended to be the one that most people liked during the split, but now Bidvest, in fact, is actually kind of doing okay as well. So it's all fine. You know, this was fun.
All right. We don't have a lot of time for anything else this morning, but we will tomorrow be broadcasting live from Cape Town for our launch of Hashtag Invest. We'll let everybody in on the action. And this is really exciting because it's the first time for a lot of people that they can get onto the stock market without having to be, you know, hundreds of thousands of rands in. It's a way for everybody to just get a foothold and to secure some kind of excitement for themselves in the stock market. You know, we talk about it every day, and this is your way to get some skin in the game. When we talk about Mediclinic, for example, you'll know whether it's up or down in your portfolio, whether you should hold on to it or not. And this is the best way to do it, because you are going to have everything managed by Anthea, who's a proper asset manager and so on. It's just an exciting way of doing things. And we'll give you all the info. Clearly, there are lots of great stock market products out there. I see them being advertised all over the place. For us, the major thing here is that we'll all be in this together, and it'll be quite fun. Anything you want to add, Anthea?
No, I think it's a very exciting product, Gareth, because I think it's the first time we're taking managed accounts to kind of everybody and offering it to basically no matter who you are. You're now getting directly the services of an asset management business, which you would normally have to go through a financial advisor, or you'd have to have at least R1 million at least,
right?
Just to get kind of those services. So I'm very excited about it.
I am too, and I'm delighted that we can kick it off finally after talking about it for so long. So we'll give you all the info tomorrow. But thanks, Anthea. We'll catch up in Cape Town.
Thank you.
Very good. Anthea Gardner, look at the stock markets.
This is CliffCentral.com.